we thank you that we can be in your house on the Lord's Day. We just thank you. Pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon us this morning, that we might gain strength and help during this time of the year. As we were singing, before the winter gets here, before the storms and all of that, we thank you for the beautiful day that we have today, even though it's a little cool. We thank you, Lord, to know that you're always in control, no matter what may be going on around and about us. And Lord, we just pray for those who are not with us this morning. We pray for any who are ill. Pray that you'll continue to be with Brother Steve and strengthen him and restore him completely. We do pray, too, for others that are going through difficult times right now, that you'll help each one of them and supply their needs. And Lord, we ask you to bless the service today, that each one of us might truly be strengthened and helped as we face each new day. We thank you, Lord, to know that you are always in control, no matter what. And we just commit it all into your hands and pray your most holy, precious will be done. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Lead us and guide us now through the service that we might honor your holy name and do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's where we're. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned to him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object, if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We want to pray this morning. And we got a letter from the Templeton's missionaries down in South America and Peru. One of their fellow missionaries, the lady, her name was Becky, was home with the COVID. And her husband and son went out. And when they came back, she had been murdered. That we might truly be encouraged and strengthened and helped in this world in which we live today. It's a world of uncertainty, and yet we know that you are in control and that ultimately we are going to prevail. We're going to see the victory because our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again and he will rule and reign forever. And we thank you and praise you for that. We're looking forward to that. And pray that you'll help us from day to day not to be too distressed or anxious about what's happening in this world today. We do pray, our Father, for this family that's lost their dear one in such a tragic way. We ask you, Lord, to comfort their hearts and meet their needs at this time. And we know that there's many people that are still going through this suffering and sickness from this virus and all of the ramifications of it. And we just pray, dear Lord, that you'll have mercy upon us, that this might be lifted. And we pray that soon we would be able to get the victory over this dreadful disease. Lord, we do pray for our people here, for the church. We ask you to give us guidance and leadership in everything that we do, that we might be able to serve you faithfully. And guide us and show us your will and your purpose in everything that we undertake. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. As we think of this Thanksgiving season, we just rejoice in all of the blessings that you have showered upon us in so many ways, Lord. And through whatever circumstances there may be, we know that you are always with us. You've said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And so, Lord, we certainly appreciate that and rejoice in knowing that we are not alone, that you're always with us. And may we honor you and serve you and do your holy, precious will. We just ask you to speak to every heart this morning. You know each one of us. You know what is going through our minds and our hearts. And I pray that you will help us to put our faith and trust in you completely, and not fear, and not turn aside. Help us to be faithful to you. Thank you so much for all of your goodness to us. Lead us and help us now through the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn back once again to Acts chapter 24. Because of the Jewish conspiracy to kill Paul, you remember we talked about last week, the Roman captain, Claudius Lysias, sent him under heavy guard to Caesarea. You remember? 400 and some soldiers, I think, before it was over with, accompanied him down there, because more than 40 men had conspired together that they were going to kill Paul the first opportunity that they had. And, you know, I was thinking about that. They must have gotten very hungry before it was over with, because the Lord delivered Paul. They didn't get to kill him. So I suppose eventually they must have gotten something to eat. What do you think? Maybe. Anyhow, we find here Felix was the governor at that time. And he had been appointed the procurator of Judea in 53 A.D. This is the same position that Pontius Pilate had held during the time of Christ. And now Felix is the governor there. And so he's supposed to preside over the trial when Paul's accusers arrived there. And his name Felix means happy. I don't know what his disposition really was, but that's what it was. His name meant happy. I always think of Felix the cat. You remember those little cartoon critters? His name was Felix. He always seemed to be pretty happy. And anyway, we find here the governor, Felix. He had originally been a slave. It's amazing. But somehow the Claudius, the emperor, released him and eventually made him the governor of Judea. So that's coming a long ways, isn't it? All the way from slavery to being the leader in this entire region. And he had a reputation of being a very cruel and corrupt person, though. You notice as we read this, he was hoping Paul would give him a payment, a bribe, you know. I think that's pretty standard in certain places where you get bribed in order to release someone or to do some special favor for them. This was his way of acting, apparently. And like Herod, who had killed John the Baptist, you remember, Felix was the same kind of person. He was an adulterer. He had he took another man's wife and made her his consort, Drusilla, the daughter of King Herod Agrippa, was probably still a teenager, and yet she had already been married twice before. Boy, this is really something, huh? Quite the story. Sounds like a soap opera or something. Anyway, Paul, when he had the opportunity, preached so forcefully that Felix trembled. But he did not repent of his sin, apparently. There's nothing said about that. So as we look at this story, we find, first of all, the accusations against Paul. The high priest himself, Ananias, that we spoke about last week, he was the one who came down to lead this delegation, came to accuse Paul and to put him on trial. So the chief spokesman was a man named Tertullus. He was a lawyer, one that was hired to lead in the discussion, with a silver tongue, no doubt, this kind of lawyer that would flatter the governor. We read here some of the things that he said about him. Here in verse 2, Tertullus began. He says, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done to this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." So he's laying it on pretty thick, isn't he? And seeking to flatter the governor. and to have his own way. But notice that they have three accusations that they bring against Paul here in verse 5. It says, "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow." You know, a pest. He bothers us, you know. "And a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world." Wow. "And a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." So there's three accusations that they make against him. One's a very general one. He's a pestilent fellow. He bothers us, you know. He just, you know, we just like to get rid of him, you know. So there's nothing really very specific about that. Then he says he's a mover of sedition against the Jews of the whole world. Well, that's kind of an exaggeration, isn't it? Throughout the whole world, he is causing all this trouble. He's a terrorist, I suppose, of some kind, and a political accusation that they bring against him. And then the third one, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Now, you remember, at this time, the church had not yet completely separated from Judaism. It was considered more or less a part of Judaism. At the beginning, they still met at the temple and things like that. And so they considered them an offshoot of Judaism. And he calls it here a sect of the Nazarenes. You remember Jesus of Nazareth. That was, it's kind of a criticism against them, because Nazareth, you remember, they didn't have a very good reputation. One of the disciples said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know? It's just a hole in the wall, you know, so to speak, a hole in the road kind of a place. And nothing important happens in Nazareth. So anyway, he says, "You're a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes," those who follow this man called Jesus. And so this is, these are the accusations, the kind of charges that they brought against Paul. Were something like the same things that they had brought against Jesus. You remember? Let's look back for a minute in Luke chapter 23, and we'll see here what what they said about him in Luke chapter 23 and beginning at verse 13. It says, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to them, 'You have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done to him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast.' And they cried out all at once, saying, 'Away with this man! Release to us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison.' Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' And he said to them the third time, 'Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.' And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So, we find a very similar thing. The accusations that they were making against Paul were the very accusations, the very truths that regarded Barabbas. This man really had done sedition against the government. He had murdered, and yet he was released. And Jesus was crucified, even though they had no valid reason for accusing him. The same thing with Paul. He had done nothing that was worthy of death or imprisonment. And so here we find these were false accusations brought against both Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Paul was a faithful servant of God who preached the gospel and sought to win people to Christ. This was his life. Everywhere he went, this is what he did. He was not involved in political issues, unless it would be the emperor worship. He would not bow down and worship the emperor. And this was one thing they probably could accuse him of, but he was being true to his Lord and Savior by worshiping only the true and living God, and would not recognize any other Lord. You know, there's no one that we should worship except our Lord and Savior. No one else is worthy of that type of allegiance. So we find here, this is the accusation against Paul. He's a pest. He's doing sedition. And he's a ringleader of this group of radicals. In other words, the Nazarenes, these are people that are causing all kinds of trouble in the empire. That's the accusations they have against him. Paul then comes to his defense, beginning here in verse 10. Paul, it's verse 10 says, let's see, "For as much as I know that you have been of many years a judge to this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship." He said, I was only there for 12 days. I don't think I did anything that would be so horrible, right? He didn't have time even. He only got there to worship. That's the reason he went to Jerusalem. He says, "And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city." He says, they didn't find me disturbing anyone or doing anything wrong. "Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me." So he says, they don't have any grounds for accusing me, for any accusation that they would bring. Paul denied any wrongdoing, pointed out that he had come to worship. That was his only crime. He was there to worship God. And some people think that's a crime today, I think. You know? But he wasn't inciting anyone to riot against Rome or anything of that nature. He did admit that he belonged to the way, he says. The way that they call heresy is the way I worship the God of my fathers. You see, Paul had been converted, as you remember, on the road to Damascus, where Jesus met him there. And he was converted and changed completely, and changed from being a persecutor to being a preacher, and serving the Lord faithfully from that day on. But he says, this is the only thing I'm guilty of, is serving the Lord. He says, "I confess this, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. And I have a hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So you know, he says, I believe in the resurrection. He was had started out as a Pharisee. He says, they agree with me. They believe there's going to be the resurrection. And all men will come back to life again. Some that are just, some that are unjust. And that's all that I believe. I preach that. This is what I'm doing. And speaking of the salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. The same message that we preach today, right? That this life is not all there is. There is a life to come, and we need to be prepared for it and believe that Christ is our Lord and Savior and that we have hope in Him. We don't have hope in anyone else. And He's the one who can bring us through. So then we see he defends himself. And he said, I came bringing an offering to my people. That was one of the reasons he went to Jerusalem, to bring an alms to the nation because they were suffering, helping them in their time of need. And then some of the Jews from Asia saw him in the temple and went crazy to arrest him and beat him, and he had to be rescued by the Roman soldiers, else he would have been killed. And so then we come to Felix's decision, beginning here in verse 22. What he didn't really make a decision. Isn't this the way it is? You know, there's some of these trials, they go on for day after day after day after week after week. And here we'll find out Paul had to stay there for 2 years as a prisoner, and then he was turned over to another governor. So it's going to go on and on. So one of those things, Felix already knew about the way, the Christian faith. He had some knowledge of it. In verse 22, it says, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. In other words, he's not going to make a decision now. But it says he knew about Christianity. He knew something about Jesus. And yet, he is hesitating. He's waiting. He's not going to do anything about it. And then like a lot of people, you know, they know the way. They know what God expects us to do, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And yet many people say, oh yes, yes, I know. That's true. My grandma told me that. You know, I believe it, yes. But they don't do anything about it. They continue on with their life without putting their faith in Christ. Just waiting, waiting, waiting for what? Waiting for what? That's the question. And yet we find here that Felix is going to hesitate. He knew Paul was innocent. You know, he knew that he hadn't done anything. There was no charge here. They didn't have anything against him. Just like Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. He said it very clearly. I don't find any fault in him. And yet, still got the death sentence. He delayed making a decision and made an excuse. When the commander comes down, we'll discuss this further, he says. Okay. So he gave Paul a certain amount of liberty. He allowed him to see his friends. And then and they listened to what he had to say. That's one good thing, at least. They listened to what he had to say. In verse 24, After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And that was the message Paul always preached, wasn't it? That by grace we are saved through faith in Christ. And he listened. He and his wife, Drusilla. She knew something of the background. She was Jewish herself. She knew some of the scriptures, no doubt. And they listened to what Paul had to say. But they didn't do anything about it. You see? They just listened. And notice what it says in verse 25. As Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. No doubt the Holy Spirit was convicting him of his sin, of his ungodliness, and of his need to put his faith and trust in Jesus and to be saved. But instead of accepting Christ, he says, go thy way. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you. Putting it off, hesitating. And how many people do that today? You know, they figure, well, I've got time. You know, I'm young. Or some other excuse, thinking that they can wait and wait and wait. And yet it's a dangerous thing, isn't it? It's a dangerous thing to hear God's word and not obey it. Because God expects us to do what he calls upon us to do, to ignore it, to reject what he is saying to us. Many people today are like Felix and Drusilla. They hear the word and understand what they need to do, but they think they have enough time. They can just wait. We don't really have to do anything about it now. I'm having too much fun. You know, that kind of thing. Drusilla was still very young. Probably a teenager, they tell us. 21 years later, however, she died in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius down near Naples. Remember? The mountain that destroyed Pompeii. She was killed in that at that time. Now, Felix was convicted of his sin, but he did not yield to the Lord. What a tragedy to know the truth and refuse to accept it. To see the light, but continue to walk in darkness. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, the scripture says. Open up your heart to the Lord. If you've never come to Christ, today is the day of salvation. He died for each one of us. He died for you. And he will forgive you of all your sins if you'll only receive him as your Savior. I realize most of us, maybe all of us, have already accepted him as our Savior and Redeemer. But anyone who has not, this is the time to do it. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And we as believers, has God spoken to you about service? We need to obey him today. What does the Lord want me to do with my life? Think of that. What does he want you to do? You know, we have no promise of tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. Everything is very uncertain. I recently heard a message by Adrian Rogers on Love Worth Finding. He was entitled Saved to Serve. And he pointed out that every believer has a ministry to perform. You know, it's not just the pastor. It's everyone. We all have a work to do, whatever it might be. Whatever gifts God has given to us, whatever abilities he has endowed us with, we need to use for his glory, right? As believers, each one of us can do whatever it is that God has called us to do. And he has. He's called us to do something. And we just need to do his will and work everything out for his glory. So may the Lord help us. Paul was always faithful wherever he went preaching the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we as believers in Christ have the obligation to share that gospel with whoever we come in contact with, whoever we have the opportunity to reach. May God help us that we would be faithful in carrying out the work that he's called us to do. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts and this example that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, in the lives of these other people who listened but did not heed, did not obey, may we listen and obey your word and accomplish whatever it is you have for us to do. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified through everything that we say and do. Lead us and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our hymn books once again.